working for the state. I'm the Highway Patrol.
Ah, yes, Highway Patrol, Highway Patrol. It's the return of Safety Talk here on KWHI, AM 1280 FM 101.7. As always, our good buddy Sergeant Jimmy Morgan in studio talking with us and keeping us safe on those busy highways and byways throughout the great state of Texas. And as always, we appreciate you coming and talking with us, Sergeant Morgan.
Absolutely. And thanks for having me. And yes, we are a great state, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been willing to serve for 30 years now for this great state. So I even got my little plaque now that says,
Do you really?
It's actually bigger than, pretty good size, actually.
On your way to the gold
watch,
they get
watch, bigger. Right? Longer you stay, the plaques get bigger.
Do they now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't know that until, you know, but.
So you get these,
I always tell people I wasn't stuck along this around this long if I was steering you wrong, right? What's that old saying? Isn't that what it was?
Sure.
Okay.
A little row of that.
Hey, good news. We've been trying to keep up the latest on our total fatality count that we had in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I made some phone calls. A couple of my buddies made some phone calls. And they're posting on their billboard, if you've been driving around, a TxDOT billboard, 3586. If that number stays solid, that's a reduction of lives of 135 from the year before.
Wow.
So I was hoping it's going to be a little lower than that, but hey, if that's what it is.
Anything lower is good.
Yeah, absolutely. And with a state that continues to grow, and as people know, if you've been to Houston, Austin's and all that, the traffic and stuff continues to, man, I don't know how they do it. When I go there, I just shake my head. I don't know how people do it. But I guess if that's what you do every day, you get kind of used to it and you move on. So
I guess so. I mean, they get used to driving like, you know, crazy people.
Right. So you had sent me a email.
Yeah.
And I guess when I got, I was off the air.
They had sent it in right at the tail end. Like they sent it in, I got it like a minute before we went off the air, and so it wasn't enough time.
So the day's abbreviated show. So before we get going here, if you have a question,
yes,
call or email, get it in early. That way I can try to get it answered.
Yeah.
Not only for your benefit, for the other, because it's actually a pretty good question that I got emailed here.
That's 979-836-9937, or the email is mail, M-A-I-L, at KWHI.com.
You know, coming in the Brenham this morning, I stopped up. The commercial vehicle enforcement guys were out in force this morning. I said hello to them, and you know, the job they do is very important. If you pay attention to them 72-hour checkpoints that we have, and look at some of the equipment violations and stuff, the out of service for the drivers. You know, it's very important when you got that much weight going down the road for not only the vehicle to be up, you know, brakes and everything working, but that driver not being fatigued under any kind of influence, whatever. So, but anyway, they're in Washington County today, I stopped and visit with them this morning. Thought I'd say hi to them on the radio. I told them I'd be on about 9:05, not really knowing. But anyway, I was a little late on that. But so the question was about, you know, antique license plates. So to qualify to have an antique license plate, your vehicle has to be at least 25 years of age.
25?
Yes.
For an antique?
Yeah.
Really?
What are you looking at me for?
I'm just thinking.
So. I mean, so why do people put them on and whatever? Well, one of the things that you get when you display an antique license plate is you get an motor vehicle inspection exemption. However, in saying that, that also limits you when and how you can use that car. These antique license plate type vehicles are usually cars that go to the car shows, parades, they pull them out of the garage for certain events. They'll allow you to go back and forth to these events. But this, for overall going to work, everyday traveling, you're not supposed to do that. That's where you're limited. And if you're going to still do that and want to still do the car show and put a different kind of plate, you may want to consider the classic car registration, which they'll allow you to buy, which your car still will be inspected if it passes and all that. But it's still, there's no restriction on your use. Now, on an antique license plate, certainly any going to mechanic or something to get some work done, yeah, you can do that. The number one thing to take away from this conversation is that it's not meant to be for, you know, work and everything else. You just got certain limitations on that. So I hope that answers the gentleman's question, because I think he wanted to do something with his vehicle. I think he was going to mechanics or somewhere with that car, and he was just concerned whether or not he could still legally do that, which he can. He just can't be driving around town for no reason at all with that type of plate. So anyway, that pretty much answers that question. Now, I do have a trivia question today, and so, you know, in Texas, the law used to be 13 foot 6 on your overall height, and they increased that to 14 feet, but they came out and said, look, we're going to give you 14 like our car haulers, that people that transport these vehicles down the road, but anything over 13.6, you're responsible for to make sure you can go underneath that bridge. Because if you drive around Texas long enough, and up there in Milam County, there's a bridge up there in Milano that continues to get hit several times a year for whatever reason. And I don't know if people don't read the sign or whatever, but they try to go on it, and they hit the bridge.
They don't have one of those things up, if you hit this, you'll hit bridge?
No, they don't, and there's not a whole lot of room to put that, because as soon as you make that turn, there's the bridge. So they would have to put it on 79 somewhere. They could put it on 36 coming north, but anyway, so... But there is an exemption to the 14-foot rule. There's a certain type of vehicle that is allowed to be 14.6. What kind of vehicle am I talking about? And that's today's trivia, sponsored by Country Boys. $10 certificate.
Okay.
How you like that?
Yeah.
So,
sure. Anyway. 979-836-9937. What kind of vehicle can be what again?
What type of vehicle can be over the 14-foot up to 14.6? What type of vehicle am I talking about is allowed? It gets an exemption to the 14-foot rule.
Okay. All right. Answer at 836-9937.
Yeah. So, as you know, our legislation, 86 legislation, is in session. Mm-hmm. And certainly I have no report on that, good, bad, or whatever. I don't know, you know, as we get closer to May, usually by then I have a general idea. You know, I tell people this time, because I have people say, hey, look, there was a bill introduced the other day, and they're wanting to do this, legalize marijuana, or do this, do that, whatever. What's your thing? I said, well, first of all, what you got to remember is, and you've been around long enough to know this, Craig, is that, look, how many bills are introduced each session? I mean, thousands, right?
A lot.
All right. There's only just a few that pass. Mm-hmm. So don't get caught up all in... You heard somebody introduce a bill. So I don't really get interested till April, May, and it's still out there. And then I start paying a little closer attention then, because there's just so many bills that get introduced that don't end up coming law. So it's no sense of worrying about it until, like I say, we get about May, we start figuring out, okay, and they're really still looking at it. So I don't get, like I say, if you hear things, just... I'm not saying ignore it. You can follow it, whatever you want to do. But just rest assured, just because somebody introduces a bill, that doesn't mean it's going to become law. So let's see. One of the things I got on one of my other talk shows, and I thought was kind of interesting to talk about. So, you know, people break down. We talk about during the holiday travels and stuff like that. And we always talk about, hey, look, make sure you got your stuff with you in case you do break down. Great time to have a cell phone in case you need some help or whatever. But what if you have to leave the car there? What should you do if you break down and you really don't know if you're going to make it back or not? That's where I'm going to go with this, because there is some incidents where actually the caller called in because I had a it was actually a complaint type call where they had somebody driving an 18-wheeler that was continued to leaving their 18-wheeler parked on the shoulder of the roadway on a certain highway. And they want to know if that was legal or not. And so if you go to the use of the improved shoulder, number one thing on the use of the improved shoulder, stop, stand, or park, is number one. So, yes, you can. And that's what it's meant to be, one of the reasons it's meant to be used for. But what about an overnight stay? You're not just, you know what I'm saying? How long can you stay there? And does it change from day to night and what all that good stuff? And that's And that's important to talk about, because if you do break down and there's a chance that you're not going to be able to come get the vehicle for whatever reason, I always tell people, push it onto the grass. Get it off the improved shoulder, because depending where you're at, some you know, especially if you're near an intersection, people may want to use that shoulder to go around on somebody making a left, or what, or somebody that's they want to move over and allow somebody else faster to pass or whatever. And if it's at nighttime, you've left that vehicle during the daytime. This is what happens: is they're standing there and not thinking about putting lights on because it's daytime, and then something happens. They don't get back in time, and it's already night. Now you got a vehicle on the shoulder with lights off. So is that a problem? And the answer to that question is yes, that is a problem. It's a problem for you, civil liability, and could be criminal at the same time. So, because basically what it says, if you leave a parked vehicle on the shoulder of the roadway, you have to have some type of parking lights on and showing people that the vehicle, you know, illuminating the vehicle so people can see it, number one. And number two is, or some type of hazard flashers or whatever it may be. And now, the obvious part is, if the problem is your battery, you may not be able to do that. So, you know, your truckers are put out reflectors and stuff like that. Yeah. Now, you as a motorist, you're not required to have these type of items. But, hey, look, you know, they're not that expensive. If you want to put a little set of reflectors, they fold up in a box just in case this happens to you and whatever. Yeah, sure. That and a fire extinguisher. Absolutely. Got a phone call this morning?
We do here. Okay. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Is Craig around?
It is, but this is Safety Talk today. You have a question?
Oh, I just called back on Wednesday. I want to ask him a question. That's it.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Oh, there we go. I think that was a country store question right there.
Okay. So remember... So if you don't know one way or another, I say push the car off onto the grass, that if you can. And I know there's some times that you can't do that, maybe too wet, whatever. But you may want to consider to have it towed off at that point if you don't know. Or now, the exemption to that is if you're parked underneath some type of street light and the visibility of your car it can be seen within 1,000 feet because of that light, then that's your exemption. So... that is one of the exemptions you get. So if you're breaking down, if you can see a street light or something somewhere, and you really don't know if you're going to get back, or if it's nighttime, whatever, that may be an out for you. If your battery's certainly the problem, at least be somewhere it's lit up where people can see your car.
Okay. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question?
No. Can I answer the question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Would it be the oversized or overweight vehicle?
No, I'm looking for a certain type of vehicle. It's a seasonal type vehicle I'm looking for that give them up to 14 foot 6.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yes. Right.
Thank you.
At least I have their attention. Okay.
There we go. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, I just wanted to, and look, you get 48 hours. You ever noticed you go by, sometimes cars sit there, and they sit there, and look, they get 48, but sooner or later, somebody's going to come by and put a red tag on that, you know. I've worked accidents where cars were left on the side of the road at nighttime and people hit them and stuff like that. Look, they're hitting cars that are our cars with lights on. So what makes you think they're not going to hit your car on the side of the road? So anyway, it's just important to talk about. So 48 hours typically is what you get. And if you don't remove the car by then the law enforcement can have that vehicle towed in and you can go pick it up at your own expense. So. As we continue to this year to enforce the move over law, last year we ended up stopping over 41,000 cars, citations and warnings for that. And we continue to inform people, whether it be a record driver, law enforcement, or your TxDOT worker, to when you see them lights, vacate the closest lane to them or slow down to 20 miles an hour if it's not a more than a two-lane roadway. And you cannot cross the center stripe unless to avoid from doing that. So I don't, by now, you know, this thing's been around for 15 years. So it's not like we should know about the move over law. But again, our department will continue to enforce that and have, and I usually send out some type of press release throughout the year in my district when we're doing them regional-wide here in Region 2, better known as now the Southeast District or Region. So, just thought, and I'll continue to send that out and let public know when we're doing them. It's not like we're trying to trick anybody. We're trying to inform, get the message out. We should be used to know what to do by then about approaching emergency vehicles on the side of the roadway. Let's go ahead and take a break. And when I get back, okay, we'll talk about some of these other things I got down, and hopefully we have some more questions coming in, we'll see if somebody can answer the trivia.
Yeah, what's the trivia question again?
What type of vehicle gets an exemption to the 14-foot rule that we have in place? It's a seasonal-type vehicle that allows to be 14-6.
All right, there we go. 979-836-9937, or send us an email here, mail, M-A-I-L, at KWHI.com. Back more Safety Talk coming up after this.
When you're in the market for a new skid steer or compact track loader, make sure to choose the one that lets you enjoy the ride. ASCO Equipment is here to provide the right solution for you with Case Construction Equipment. At nearly 3 feet wide and pressurized to reduce noise, dust, and fumes, Case Skid Steer and Compact Track Loaders offer you some of the largest and most comfortable cabs in the industry. So if you're in the market for a new skid steer or compact track loader, visit ASCO Brenham on US 290 West or in Bryan on North Earl Rudder Freeway today to buy or rent.
If you haven't been to the Senior Center at Washington County Healthy Living, you have no idea what you're missing. Everyone knows that they serve wonderful lunches, but that's not all. Seniors can also participate in a variety of activities like cards and dominoes tournaments, knit and crochet, quilting, bingo, and even tap dancing and line dancing. There's literally something for everyone. They even offer a senior transport van, so you have no excuse not to visit their new facility on Tom Green Street in Brenham. Call 836-6552 to find out more.
We got started with Downey from day one, and it's been a great, great form of advertising.
Full page ad every year since day one, in color.
They go straight to that phone book because it's always worked for them.
Our ROI on Downey advertising has been very good.
Downey is the most affordable. We have a very large ad, extremely important.
It verifies that we're serious about being in business.
Downey delivers.
Call today, 866-7-DOWNEY.
Buccaneer Food Store, home of tacos on the corner, expanding their breakfast menu. Not only authentic, made-from-scratch breakfast tacos, how about starting your day with their breakfast plate of eggs, bacon, or sausage, hash browns, and a biscuit, just $3.79. Or their new biscuit or croissant breakfast sandwiches. And don't forget those homemade Czech kolaches and pigs in a blanket. Whatever gets your morning going, let Buccaneer Food Store and Tacos on the Corner at 1307 Prairie Lee in Brenham start your day.
The Wood Doctor, Franco's Wood Floors in Brenham, specializes in all types of wood floors. New installation, repairs, sand and finish, or recoats. Whatever you need, the Wood Doctor at Franco's Wood Floors can do. Plus, they offer to install or repair all species, including exotic woods. Just call 979-203-7003 to talk to the Wood Doctor about your job. They'll come out to assess the job and give you a no-obligation free quote. Plus, they service the whole state of Texas. Franco's Wood Floors, since 1994. Call 979-203-7003.
Washington County Chamber of Commerce and Brenham Economic Development Foundation invite you to attend the 2019 annual banquet on Tuesday, February 5th at the Fireman's Training Center. The banquet starts with a social at 5:30, followed by a program and dinner. This year's theme is Shaping the Future and will feature Brenham native Tyson Volkel, president of the Texas A&M Foundation. The recipients of the prestigious Man and Woman of the Year Lifetime Achievement Awards will be announced. Tickets are $40 per person or $440 for a reserved table for 8 guests. Available until January 30th or when sold out. Get yours in person at the Chamber office at 314 South Austin Street in Brenham or by credit card by calling 979-836-3695. Don't miss this exciting evening that celebrates our special community and its volunteer leaders. February 5th at the Fireman's Training Center, hosted by the Washington County Chamber and Brenham Economic Development Foundation. For more information, call 979-836-3695 or visit the Chamber online at brenhamtexas.com.
The excitement of anticipation, the thrill of discovery, The exhilaration of acceleration. Experience it all at the Houston Auto Show, presented by the Houston Chronicle, January 23rd through 27th at NRG Center. Don't miss over 800 vehicles from the world's leading manufacturers. Test drive the newest models. Check out the latest technology. Ignite your passions for all things automotive. The Houston Auto Show, January 23rd through 27th at NRG Center. Details at HoustonAutoShow.com.
Welcome back, KWHI, AM 1280, FM 101.7 here on this Thursday morning. Listen to a Safety Talk. Craig Montana being joined by Sergeant Jimmy Morgan here in studio today. And, of course, Sergeant Morgan, appreciate you coming back again with us and talking with the folks and keeping them updated on what's happening in the state of Texas.
Sure. So we had some callers. They always wait till we go on break and they mm-hmm. call in. But yeah. One was recreational type vehicle. That was a no. And the other one mentioned was you'll see it this time of year, these guys that go around and with the round square, round bales of hay, mm-hmm. some are square, whatever. That's not it. But in saying that, they do get exemption to the width. They get up the 144, 12 foot, but mm-hmm. they have that $10 permit.
Yeah.
That was actually a pretty good guess, but that's not. Now we're getting close. It's I would say the vehicle does have to have something to do with farming. Would you agree what I showed you? Would you agree with that?
Agriculture, yes.
Yeah, okay. It's an agricultural type vehicle. In saying that, I did get this call the other day, and a gentleman wants me to visit this about ATV vehicles and remind yourself that other than any kind of city or county ordinance that allows you to operate these things on a roadway, the general law across the state is that these vehicles cannot be operated on the highway, which is fence line to fence line. Some people think if they're in the grass, they're okay.
But like it's a big tall pole with the flag on it?
Well, they don't normally do that. It used to say 8 foot, but they reduced that pole to 6 foot now with a triangle flag. And people put the slow moving emblem on there, which a lot of these, that only means that the vehicle won't go more than 25 miles an hour. And some of these things that I see on the road, they go a lot faster than 25. So that doesn't do anything for you, but the pole does, and you're required to have the pole and a driver license on top of that in daytime operation. We've got another phone call this morning.
We do here. Good morning. Safety talk today.
Cheers. I will call with a trivia question.
Sure. All right.
Would it be those short and hollow cotton bales?
You got her. That's it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Congratulations. Hey, hold on for a minute. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'll get you information from you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hold on.
Did you hand that back to me, Craig?
You have it somewhere.
Okay.
I did give it back.
I know it's somewhere in a stack
that,
here. But
that big old stack you got there.
So anyway, that's correct. There are seasonal type vehicles, but they get up to 14.6. They're one of the exemptions to that rule. So obviously, they don't want to hit a bridge either. So I just thought I'd throw that out there just to have something different to talk about. But anyway, it's your them large cotton module type bales that you'll see. They'll load them up in the back of the truck and they'll take them to the gen. So them type of trucks, you'll see them not so much around here. This we get up towards I don't know, some parts of West Texas, Northwest Texas, where they grow a lot of cotton stuff still. You'll see these type of trucks. There's a few still around this part of the country, but yes, they get that exemption on the over height. Back to the AT vehicles, farmer ranchers traveling no more than 25 miles from their place, their residence. And remember, you're a public worker or a law enforcement officer are the exemptions to the AT vehicle type use on our roadways, which includes fence line to fence line. So occasionally I still do get questions on that. So that's you're limited. So, gentlemen, carrying deer rifles and hunting and all that good stuff, that's not going to give you an exemption on that. Again, must have that six-foot pole with the orange triangle flag. Question I get from time to time, you'll see this in some other states. It's called lane splitting. Are your motorcycles allowed to split going down a lane, two lanes of traffic? We do not allow that here in Texas. Even though you see people from time to time with what I call them crotch rockets, these type motorcycles, that high-speed type motorcycles, they'll do them and split lanes and go down a highway, whatever. We see that, we're going to make a traffic stop on that person if we see that kind of actually, that can be a form of reckless driving that I, especially the speeds that them things go. So anyway, no, we do not allow lane splitting here in Texas.
No, lane, you mean lane splitting like
motorcycle? So you see a congested highway and you can go between the cars.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, we don't allow that. So, okay. What else I got here? So, again, what do you got, Craig?
Our winner today,
okay,
Michael Brooks.
Michael Brooks. Now
Michael
he's
Brooks.
From right, Brenham,
Washington.
Washington. Okay.
Oh, Washington.
Okay. There you go. Thanks there for listening. Go.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Again, if you're going to, if somebody breaks down, I was talking about that earlier. If you're going to take that car and you got a family member is going to come out and pull you in, remember this: that the rope or whatever mechanism you use, chain, whatever it may be, has to be strong enough to do it. Number one. Number two is it can't not be, it's not supposed to be any longer than, that should be a good trivia question, 15 feet. And what type of flag that you have to have in the middle of that chain? A white flag.
A white flag.
A white flag, yes. I guess that's supposed to
really
draw your attention that you, now look, between me and you, if you only have a 15-foot mechanism towing you, there's going to be very little room for another vehicle to come in between us anyway, but... Mm-hmm. I don't, I guess that's what I have it in there for, but, I saw a gentleman the other day over in Bryan get towed and there were not 15. Matter of fact, if that car ever had to stop, I don't know how the second one's going to, I bet he didn't have about 8 foot between them. And so, you don't want to go too fast and have that guy behind you being towed to stop.
Yeah.
Cause he's probably going to get rear-ended on that type of deal. But anyway, just thought I'd mention that, driving axles, tires and stuff like that. Again, remember on your steering axles, you want to really pay close attention on that, especially on your commercial middle vehicles, no less than 4/32nd. So we want good tread on them front steering axles on the tires. TxDOT will be probably gearing up to do some more of the safety zone, work zones. We got some construction probably even scheduled for here in Washington County. Who knows? But anyway... I just wanted to make sure people aware that they continue to do construction around here. We need to obey the all the signage that they have in them. And certainly if workers are present, if you get stopped, then fines do double on them situations. So we continue to try to make it safe for our construction workers out there on the highways.
All right. We only got a couple of minutes left. You're on Safety Talk this morning. Oh, we lost him there.
I did see the. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Try back again. But yeah, we're kind of running out of time here today.
Yeah.
Just a couple of minutes
yeah.
left.
Other than that, that's all we have. Again, it's we've been very fortunate on the weather and lights flashing green.
Let's try it one more time here. Good morning. Safety Talk today, very quickly.
Yes, you're talking about hauling like an ATV with ATVs there, Polaris. Somebody said something about being illegal to haul it on a trailer with farm plates. Is that correct?
No, you can do it. I mean, that's what you're using it for. Yeah, I mean.
Well, someone.
So you're saying if I had an AT vehicle, I can't have farm registration on my trailer? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. If you're hauling it on.
No,
trailer,
if you.
I could deer lease to another place or something like that.
So, okay. So the argument is made is that, look, I'm doing deer hunting with the AT vehicle, and that's how I'm using this farm registered plate on the trailer. Can I do that? There's arguments to. So on line three, when it talks about use of farm registration, talks about necessity item. The argument could be made to me that hey, you got to eat, right? So I'm, you know, you can argue it. I don't know what the courts would say, but typically it's an argument for you. But if you had an AT vehicle and you're a guide and you're making money. And you have that registration on, and that's what you know, whatever. Then you probably are in violation. But as far as the AT vehicle, it can be used as a farm and ranch equipment on your ranch, and I don't have no problem it being loaded on there. So I will say, be careful what you do tell the officer.
Hey, yeah, I'm going to harvest some food.
Whatever. Yeah, there you go. That's all it takes. It's not what you say. It's not what you say, Craig. It's how you say it.
That's it. The Safety Talk this morning, KWHI AM, K269 GU FM in Brenham. Thank you very much for the show today. Ryan.